Good evening. Isaiah 59, in verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, so short that it cannot save." That expression, "the hand of God," is found repeatedly in God's Word. Jesus said that God is a spirit in John chapter 3 and verse 24, yet by a figure called anthropomorphism, that's a big word, and you don't have to worry about spelling it. All it means is that we assign human attributes to God. God is a spirit. He doesn't have physical hands or physical eyes or physical feet or whatever it may be. We assign those things, or those things are used in reference to God in order to help us understand Him better, Him to give His message to us in a way in which we can better understand it. But by that way, we read of God's eyes, His ears, His face, all in one verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. We read of His back in Exodus chapter 33 and 23. His feet in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 35. And His hands in the text that I just read to you from the book of Isaiah. Since we're not talking about literal hands, we're referring to God's power. We're referring to His activity as God. His hands, the things that do our work for us. That's why when we see the Bible tell us to wash your hands, you sinner, or even raising holy hands, we're talking about our activities. Are our activities holy? The things we do with our hands, are they holy? Have we washed our activity? Have we washed the things that we do? Made them right? So that we understand what hands mean. In the Bible, we're talking about activity or power. I want us to think about the hand of God tonight. First of all, the hand of God is the hand of salvation. The hand of God created the world in which we live in today. You may read and you look very far. You don't have to look very far or hard. And you will find all kinds of voices that will give every type of description for how this world began and this universe came into existence except for God, right? Things that quickly say that it happened with a big bang, or it happened with this, or it happened with that. They got all kinds of theories, and the universe is constantly changing age. Nothing seems to be constant in their theories because, number one, they have forgotten where it all began. It began in the hand of God. It began with His power. Where did the world come from? There's only one answer. God's omnipotent voice spoke, His hand moved, and it came into existence. It's that simple. It's that easy. It's that quick. I don't have to have seen it to believe it. That is the very essence of faith, isn't it? But there's not a doubt within me that God said that that's what happened. And therefore, that is exactly what did. The song says, "In reason's ear they all rejoice and utter forth a glorious voice. Forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine." The hand of God also created man from the dust. It's becoming more prevalent today among some science circles that we were planted by aliens. They are the spark of life. Or that we came from monkeys. I've known a few people that acted like them, but I don't think they came from them. They worked so hard at coming up with all kinds of wonderful stories, and they have awesome, awesome special CGI effects on the Discovery Channel, don't they, on how everything was created, how everything came about, how man evolved, and you get to watch the little stupid guys with all the hair still, they're running around with their clubs, and they slowly get smarter and use better tools, and one day they figured out how to talk, and one day I guess they shaved, I don't know what all happened. That's all in a man's imagination. But that was never reality. It was never from the hand of God. So what is the truth? Well, the truth is the same as before. God's omnipotent voice spoke, and His hand moved, and man came into existence. And David said about that, he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." As David thought about himself, he said, "I'm wonderful, I'm fearful, look at me, look at my body and all that it can do." The hand of God in the creation of man explains our dignity and our worth and ultimately our immortality. But the hand of God is not only the hand of creation, it is also the hand of salvation. The power of God to save sinful man is proclaimed throughout the Bible. We talked this morning about how God brought that about. Man, the creation of God, sin. Back, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve there in the garden, and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she gave to Adam, and he ate. And mankind fell. And since that time, save Jesus Christ, every single accountable adult has sinned. God in His mercy was desirous to save the sinner, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that He's wishing for all to come to repentance, no one to perish. God in His power was able to save man. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He can save us forever. It's not for a certain period of time or a certain, short time. It is forever. If you come to God, salvation is yours, and it is yours for the eternal ages. The hand of Jesus would have gathered the Jews together of Jerusalem with this salvation. He wanted to gather them together. He says, underneath my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks. But they would not, Matthew chapter 23 and 37. The hand of the Lord knocks at the door of the sinner's heart and wants to come in. You know, you come to my house and you knock on my door, you cannot come in my house till I come and open it. And Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts, but He cannot come in until we open that door. Until we accept Him in. Till we receive Him. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 intonates this. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. I love that imagery. And he wants to come in. He doesn't want to just come in and just boss us around. He wants to come in and sit down and eat with us, fellowship with us, be with us, have a relationship with us. God's hand of salvation is also the hand of deliverance. God's hand reaches down into the terrible depths of sin, the pig pen of sin, and it pulls us out, guides us home. Psalm 42, the psalmist wrote, He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet up on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He brought me up out of the terrible depths of sin, and He put me on a rock. He made my footing sure, that I did not have to worry about falling. You know, the song goes, from sinking sand He lifted me, with tender hand He lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name. He lifted me. You know, it requires something from the sinner. And it requires that I accept God's help. If you are down in some kind of pit, and you cannot get out, and I come along and I reach down with my hand, I say, take my hand, I'll pull you out, and you won't take my hand, you're going to stay in the pit. And Jesus' hand is the only hand, God's hand is the only hand that can ever pull you out of the pit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. The only hand that will get you out of the pit is God's hand. All other hands that reach down and promise to pull you out will only push you back down. The hand of God is also, last of all this evening, the hand of providence. The hand of God that made us and the hand of God that saved us is also the hand of God that sustains us in our lives. Of a certainty, we may know that God's hand is in it all. The hand of providence is also what we could call the hand of blessing. God has always bountifully blessed men. He blessed Abraham. He made Abraham a very rich man because of his faithfulness and his willingness to do whatever God called on him to do. His hand has opened the windows of heaven and poured forth abundant gifts. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us, if He withheld His blessings for just a moment, for a split second, this universe would be destroyed in an instant. Because God's blessings, God's hand, and providence holds it all together. All that is good in this world, all that is worth having or worth being in this world, is from the hand of God. The hand of providence is also the hand of direction. God's hand has always led people. Now, I've seen people that are blind and they've had somebody that has taken their arm and led them around and helped them because they cannot see where to go. And Jeremiah says of you and of me, he says that it is not within man to guide his own steps, right? I do not have the ability to see the right way. I do not have the ability to go the right way on my own. I need someone to take my hand and guide me. And the only one that's not blind is God. Jesus said the blind, when the blind lead the blind, what happens to them? They both fall in the ditch. I don't want to follow a man. That man's just as blind as I am, right? I want to take the hand of God. The hand of providence that is the hand of direction. And let Him guide me through His Word. He leads not by miracle today, but through those teachings that are found in His Bible. So we sing truthfully, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And that should be a blessed thought to us that we are being led by the One who created all things, who created us, who knows us better than we know ourselves. The same hand of providence is also the hand of protection. God has always protected His people. All you have to do is study the Scriptures and you will see that God has protected His people. You look back into the Old Testament, right? He protected Abraham. He took care of Abraham, even when Abraham was afraid a lot of times that people would kill him to take Sarah. God never let anybody hurt Abraham. Abraham chased an army with just a few hundred men and defeated it to bring back Lot and the inhabitants of Sodom. You go a little bit further and you see the children of Israel and how God protected them from the Egyptians, would not allow them to be destroyed, led them through the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army. He won for them battle after battle after battle, sometimes through great miraculous means. One time, when as long as Moses held his arms upright, that's kind of comical when you think about it. His arms started getting tired, so Aaron and Hur held his arms up for him. He rained down boulders on one army. He made the sun stand still so they could finish the battle another day. God brought down the walls of Jericho. God has always taken care of His people. David went out to face the giant. He wasn't worried because he knew God would protect him. Any time in the Old Testament that the people of God depended on God and looked to God for deliverance, they received it. When Hezekiah prayed about the army of Sennacherib that we talked about last week, 185,000 died that night. God told them that just a few of them would be able to chase thousands because He would fight the battles for them. So God has always protected His people. We come to the New Testament. We look at the book of Revelation. And if there is a message in the book of Revelation, it is that God will never let His people be destroyed. No matter what may come, no matter what persecution is brought down upon the church will not be destroyed. God will not allow it. You know, that's one thing. If I say I'm not going to allow it, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I don't have a lot of control. There's a lot of things that I could say I'm not going to allow it, but it may happen anyway. But let me tell you something, friends. When God says that He will not allow it, it will not happen. God does not function on our whims or our will. He determines what happens in all things. Another song states, as we think about Him being our refuge from temptation and danger and evil men, it says, I am safe, whatever betide me. I am safe, whoever deride me. I am safe as long as I confide me in the hollow of God's hand. Sometimes the hand of providence is also, though, and this is a little different for us, it's the hand of correction, isn't it? My dad had a hand of correction. I don't know about yours, but he definitely had a hand of correction that found its way to different parts of my body from time to time. And if you're a father, you need to have a hand of correction too for your children. God in His love must sometimes discipline us to purify us, to remind us, to bring us closer to Him. And you go, well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. I appreciate what my parents did. I appreciate how they raised me and how they taught me to respect and honor them, to respect and honor God. And sometimes that wasn't always outside of that realm of discipline. But I appreciate what they did and teaching me those things that are right and those things that are wrong and how to behave in life. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 makes it very clear that He will chasten us, that He will discipline us because we are His children. Just as a father will discipline his child, God sometimes disciplines us as well. I don't know how all the ways He does that. Don't even ask me. It's not for me to know. But I know that He does. And we can see examples of that as well in the Scriptures. He certainly brought a certain level of discipline down upon David, did He not? David knew the discipline of God. He knew this hand of discipline that God brought down upon him. He lost a child. He spent the rest of his life after his sin of murdering Uriah and committing adultery with Bathsheba. He spent the rest of his life with the sword never removed from his house. In other words, he was constantly at war. He saw his children get killed by each other and his own son throw him from the throne and try to kill him. All of these things came as consequences for David's sinful actions. Toward the end of his life, as he took the census of the Israelite people, which was against God's law, and he did it against all the recommendations of everybody around him, he did it anyway, and God said, now you're in trouble. Now it's time to be disciplined. And he did to David what my mother did to me. I've told you this before. He made David pick his own switch. He gave him three options. Remember that? Pestilence, or being chased by armies, or God's wrath. And God brought His wrath down. He said, I want to fall into the hands of God, right, or famine. He said, just let me fall in Your hands, God, because he knew, like Jonah did, that God was a gracious and merciful God. And when God came to strike the city of Jerusalem, He went out and He went to offer that sacrifice there at the threshing floor. And he asked the guy, and the guy said, I'll give it to you. He said, no, I cannot give to God something I did not give something for that cost me nothing. David learned. David became more faithful in that discipline that God brought down upon him. Now there is also, as we conclude tonight, there's also the hand of judgment. There is the hand of retribution. To those who will not acknowledge God's hand of creation, to those who will not accept His hand of salvation, nor appreciate His hand of providence, God reserves the hand of retribution. He reserves that hand for them, and no one will escape that hand. Anyone that rejects Jesus Christ, anyone that rejects God, will know this hand and will know it well, and will spend eternity suffering the effects of it. So tonight, let us trust and appreciate the hand of God. The hand of God that created us, the hand of God that has the ability tonight to save us, and the hand of God that blesses us in so many ways, that He is so worthy of our allegiance, of our devotion. And may we so take hold of those hands, that hand of salvation, and look to that hand of providence to guide us in this life. May we do that one day when we leave this life, when we breathe our last, we can say, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. I want to be in the hand of God. I definitely want to be in the hands of God at that moment. I wanted my spirit to be given to Him because I gave my life to Him. Tonight you have that opportunity. The hand of God reaches out to you if only you will take hold of it. Take hold of it by believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus, and being buried in baptism, raised to be a child of God, taking that hand of salvation, finding the great benefits of it, and then knowing the blessings of His providence all the days of your life. Having not only been created physically by Him, but now having been created anew, a new creature, as Paul told the Corinthians, a new creature in Christ. God is a great creator. If you're a child of God this evening and maybe you haven't been living as you should, the hand of salvation still extends to you. You may have went away from home, but He still stands and He waits and He puts out His hand. If only you'll reach out and take it and come home. We can assist you with that in any way. Won't you let us? As we stand and as we sing.